Charles Jayco on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's 8:29. Good morning to you. Alonka Dunnan is a software developer in St. Charles. But as a hobby, and this fascinates me, she breaks codes, studies cryptography. In fact, in October of last year, was at CIA headquarters talking about Kryptos, this statue at the CIA. But I wanted, and she's working on that, but apparently has not broken the code yet. But this whole thing of a woman who develops software in St. Charles being a expert in code breaking and cryptography, I find absolutely fascinating. And we wanted to have her on this morning. So here she is. Alonka, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
This is amazing. When did you, I mean, when other little girls were playing with dolls, were you working with mathematical ciphers, or how did you first become interested in this?
Well, my father was actually a professor of mathematics at UCLA, so I had some background there. And as a child, I was very interested in codes and other things. There was actually a boy in the neighborhood who was studying for a Boy Scout merit badge or something, and he was doing something on codes, and I was constantly over at his house and bugging him about everything he was learning. He finally just gave me his books on it, and it was just kind of a hobby for a while. And it was only a couple of years ago, I'm a software developer. I'm actually a game developer. I make internet games for the Play.net website.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking at a convention down in Atlanta called Dragon Con, and the panels immediately before and after me were not on games. They were on hacking. They were technology enthusiast panels.
Mm-hmm.
And through them, I heard about a code that had been released as a challenge as part of a hacker convention in Tennessee called Freaknik. And they said this code had been uncracked for about a year. And so I decided to take a look at it, and I cracked it. It took me 10 days, and so I won the prize. It was a free trip to a hacker con and hotel and T-shirt and all that stuff.
But is this, when you crack codes and when you work in cryptography, it was interesting. Your dad was a professor of mathematics, so I would assume then that this is all mathematically based. It's not just the old, okay, if it's the letter A, then you read it backwards. It's Z or something like that. That it's a good deal more sophisticated and requires a lot of higher math?
It depends on the code. Many of the old-style codes, I mean, over the years, hundreds of years, thousands of years of codes, many of them are exactly that, just changing one letter into another letter and getting in increasingly more sophisticated ways. However, the current codes, for example, like every time you use an ATM and you put your card into the machine,
mm-hmm.
the information there is encrypted, and those types of encryption are using very sophisticated mathematics.
Now, when you spoke to the folks at the CIA last October, you were talking about the code that is on this crypto sculpture there?
Actually, no. I wanted to speak at CIA so that I could see the crypto sculpture.
Oh, I see.
But the talk that I was giving was on Al-Qaeda codes, and it was what I call a rumor control talk right, immediately after the September 11th attacks.
Right.
There were all kinds of rumors about what kind of codes that Al-Qaeda were using, mm-hmm. and many of the reports that were coming out in the media were wildly incorrect. And I wanted to help out because I had all this experience from cracking other codes. And I remembered back in World War II, you're probably familiar, there was a project called Bletchley Park where they wanted people to help out with cracking the Enigma ciphers.
Right.
And they didn't have enough people, so what they would do is they would put really hard crossword puzzles in the paper and say, if you can solve this puzzle, we have a job for you. Come help us in the war effort. So I was wondering if we had something like that here after September 11th. And I just called up my local FBI, and I said, hey, I've got all this crypto experience. Can I help? And initially they said no, and I was persistent, and I kept calling back. And finally, I got an agent who was a listening to me, and he said, well, what is it you know about? And I listed off all the different kinds of cryptography, and one of them I listed was something called steganography, which is a way of hiding messages inside of images. And he said, you know, we've been hearing that Al-Qaeda might be using steganography. Can you put together a talk on it? And I said, sure, and I put together this huge presentation. And I don't believe that Al-Qaeda was using steganography, mm-hmm. but that's kind of how it all started.
Now, when one is using code, let's say, I don't know, if Al-Qaeda is using codes, it could take almost any form, couldn't it? In other words, the old-style Alfred Hitchcock, there's a personal ad in the newspaper, answer it, that sort of thing, on through something that is a good deal more sophisticated in seemingly innocent email messages?
They could. However, from the research that I've been doing, the codes that they were using were generally very simplistic codes. For example, if they were talking on a cell phone and they wanted to say FBI, instead of saying FBI, they would say food and beverage industry. They weren't using the very high-tech stuff. More recently in the news, they were talking about there was a plan to, it was a faulty plan, but it was a plan to destroy bridges by using gas cutters to cut the cables on the bridges. Mm-hmm. And what they instructed the terrorists that were going to do it is that if they were talking on the phone, to never use the term gas cutter, to instead use the term gas station. So that's kind of the extent of the codes that they were using that I know about.
Now, in terms of sophisticated codes, I take it codes these days, are they mostly used for industrial applications rather than the world of espionage? For example, you mentioned your ATM being encrypted. Everybody is worried about the safety of things on the internet when you're purchasing something and that sort of thing.
I would say that that's definitely the most common use of cryptography at this time, the cryptologists are looking at computers and algorithms that can be used to protect information. For example, PGP, which is pretty good privacy, which is a way that people can encrypt information that they send in emails if they want to make sure that it's very secure.
Now, what about over history, the uses of codes, either for espionage or maybe in times of war? Any interesting usages of codes that you know about historically?
Oh, I mean, lots. World War II, you've got the Enigma ciphers. You've got the Navajo code talkers who did a lot of interesting stuff there. I mean, codes all through history have been essential. Whether a code was protected or cracked could mean the difference of a life or a war or even an entire empire. I think one of the earliest forms of codes I was reading about recently was from about 2,400 years ago. Herodotus wrote about this where someone needed to send a message across enemy lines, and he knew that any messenger he sent was going to be searched, so how to get the message across. So what he did is he took a messenger and he shaved the guy's head, and then he tattooed a message on the guy's scalp, and then waited for the hair to grow back, and then sent the messenger across enemy lines. Okay. Obviously, you can't do this if you're trying for rapid communication.
That's fascinating. I remember once getting into a discussion of the book of Revelation, just because it's so wacky, and someone said, well, yeah, you know St. John the Divine was being imprisoned by the Romans, so there are a lot of people who believe this was nothing but code telling the worshipers, you know, here's what you need to do, and he wrote it in all this apocalyptic stuff. This was just a way of getting it past the Roman guard so they would think, oh, this is babbling nonsense, and we'll let it out there. One of the things that fascinates me, though, in terms of breaking codes is that it used to be, okay, you know, the letter Z means the letter A and that sort of thing. But as I understand it now, in modern codes, you may not have the same – in other words, if the letter A appears a second time, it may be written a completely different way. In other words, you don't have the same code to break it all the way through, that it alters within the message itself?
Well, yes. In fact, old codes, you would see a series of letters, and those letters would be combined or substituted and changed in different ways. These days, if you were to listen into an encoded message, it would probably just sound like a fax machine. It would just sound like a squeal. Some of the codes, for example, this code that we just cracked with the Cyrillic projector at the University of North Carolina, that was encrypted with something called a Vigenère system, where each letter of the message was encrypted with a different cipher alphabet. It was actually six different cipher alphabets repeating over and over, and it was all in Russian, so that added an extra level of complexity to it.
How difficult is it for national security people to get a handle on this? Because obviously, and there are people who are skilled as linguists, there are people who are skilled as mathematicians, and they use all sorts of computers to get around this. I would assume, though, that every day, somewhere, someplace on the face of the earth, someone is putting together a new code that may be slightly more difficult to break?
Well, those are actually easier to break. I have people sending me codes all the time, and they think they've come up with a new system of encryption. However, there are very sophisticated methods of cryptanalysis, and a new code is usually one of the easiest ones to break.
Because, really?
Yeah, because someone hasn't thought about all the ways that their code can be broken. However, there are definitely some new systems, and Bruce Schneier writes about it in his book Applied Cryptography, and there are definitely some very, very secure systems out there.
Well, to your mind, what is the most? Is there a code out there or codes that still have yet to be broken?
Oh yeah, I was actually just talking to someone recently. There's probably about dozens of famous unsolved codes. Kryptos, which is the encrypted sculpture at CIA headquarters, is definitely one of the most famous unsolved codes in the world. There's actually four sections of code on it. Three of them have been solved, but the fourth section hasn't been solved yet. That's the one that my group's working on very intensely. There's also something called the Voynich manuscripts. Jim Galogli is working on that. In popular culture, there's the Zodiac Killer wrote messages in code, and I think all but two of those have been cracked. I'm not positive on that. The Beale ciphers has a lot of attention, though there's some schools that say that that's been debunked and others that say, no, we're still working on it. But, yeah, there's lots of unsolved codes out there.
What is the most common type of code?
The most common type of code is just a straight substitution cipher where you're substituting one letter for another. So Route 13 is something that we use a lot online where each letter in the alphabet is rotated by exactly 13 characters. Morse code is a very commonly used system.
A final question for you. When you tell people you work in, you know, your hobby, if you will, your avocation is cryptography and this sort of thing. I mean, are you ever just hammered with people come and say, oh, yeah, I've got this one. You've got to try to break it. In other words, are you getting stuff unsolicited sent to you all the time?
Oh, all the time, about once a week. But sometimes I encourage it because a lot of times this really inspires teenagers who get very interested in mathematics and different kinds of scientific disciplines. And so they contact me because they want more information. And I found that a very rewarding process is mentoring a lot of teenagers and helping them along. And sometimes they pick it up as fast as I can explain it, and then they're writing codes, and then I crack those codes, and then they start writing more complex codes. And it's wonderful to watch.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. Alanka Dunnan, who is a software and game developer in St. Charles and cryptographer and codebreaker. Alanka, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Absolutely fascinating.
Wonderful stuff. I mean, you know, she said her dad was a math professor at UCLA, and that's how she got started on this. But it's just, you know, for those of us who think back to the old decoder rings you used to get when you'd send in box tops and stuff like this, this is fascinating because most people would not know where to begin.
That's just amazing and way over my head, especially when you are using codes that have to do with higher mathematics and all of the things that she spoke about the modern codes are linked to. That's very difficult. I wonder how long it would take for these groups to do some of these things. You know, that's amazing that they're able to crack them at all.
Then again, this entire conversation could have been encoded, and we just gave you a long recipe for lemon meringue pie. But you'll never know, will you?
Yum.
We're going to take a break right now.